Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
20 minutes away from the AMA, the Ask Me Anything here on a Tuesday afternoon. Phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. You can call us up and ask us anything. Great phone calls yesterday, obviously,
yeah,
responding to the Falcons game. We covered a lot of different ground. Understandably, there is a lot of different ground to cover, but today we'll get back into just good old-fashioned fun AMA questions. Brandon Adams joins us in studio on Tuesdays at this time. Dog Nation Daily podcast host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. BA, how are you?
I am doing great. Hope y'all are.
Yeah, just a comfortable win for Georgia on Saturday.
It was nice to see, right? Yeah. It was actually pretty enjoyable to see Georgia go in there. I was there. Stadium wasn't full, but it's a pretty loud crowd to begin the game. Georgia, obviously, as tradition would dictate, gave up the opening touchdown.
They had to.
And then they were pretty locked in after that. It is perhaps evidence, perhaps, that Georgia's starting to turn the corner.
Mm. Randy said peaking. Asked. Didn't say.
Yeah, I was asked about the peaking aspect of this team. I don't know. I know they're a damn good football team. When they play their best football, they can beat everybody. It doesn't matter. Ohio's, it don't matter if they do that. But at the same time, those teams can also beat them if they play their best.
And I don't mind telling you that I have spent most of this season assuming that maybe Georgia just wasn't going to find that highest gear, that what I perceive to be their highest level of play, you know, it's November. The season's almost over. Maybe they just weren't going to quite get there. Well, they haven't gotten there yet, but from like fourth quarter Ole Miss, they outscored Ole Miss that day 17-0. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss still a top 10 team. Florida, and then last week against Mississippi State, who, by the way, has played everybody close all year long. Boy, it gives you reason to believe that maybe showcase game, national television, there are going to be 10 million people watching this game on TV on Saturday night. This would be a pretty good time for Georgia to show what it's really all about.
If that is what's happening, if they have sort of taken that next step or figured out some things that needed tweaking to get there, what are those? Like, what are the differences in your mind if that is what's happening with Georgia right now?
Well, I think you're seeing individual guys start to play a little bit better on defense. For instance, Raylan Wilson was amazing on Saturday. In the first quarter, by the way, two sacks in the first quarter, which negates whatever momentum Mississippi State was trying to build. So a lot of this is, can individual guys step up, raise their level of play, and then collectively benefit from that? The offensive side of the ball has actually been really good. You know, Gunnar Stockton somewhat quietly – nationally, is having a really good year.
Yeah.
And Georgia ran for 300 yards on Saturday. I mean, to me, those are really strong benchmarks that indicate that Georgia can score with anybody. Just weirdly to be asking this, given Georgia's traditional pedigree, but can they get enough stops? That's what we're starting to wonder. I do think, though, given the way they matched up a year ago, Texas does feel like a more favorable matchup than some of these teams that want to go 100 miles an hour, want to snap it 100 times. This feels like a slightly better matchup for Georgia than some of these very particular offenses that probably caused Georgia more trouble.
What was the biggest surprise to you Saturday? Was it the fact is that they were able to get stops?
Yeah, probably so. The fact that they were able to – I mean, I expected the game to be closer than it was,
right,
just because Mississippi State has played teams close, and that's all Georgia really does. And so – I expected that. It seems like on Saturday, Georgia had a very good plan for dealing with early start out in the middle of nowhere where they're staying in Tupelo and driving an hour plus to get to the stadium. It seems like Georgia put a lot of effort towards that. And as corny as this sounds, I do think it matters for Georgia. I think this team likes playing together. I think that Kirby Smart's good. For as hard-nosed as he is, he knows how to cultivate that togetherness feeling. And I do think that this team is having a good time with itself right now.
I also think Nate Frazier, kind of looking like the guy that we thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year. Is it Has it just kind of got the fumbles out of his system and his confidence is back? I know they're using him a lot more than they were.
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's part of that. And I will say real quickly, the biggest disappointment from my preseason expectation during the season was the fact that Nate Frazier wasn't the A-list running back that looked to be on Saturday, mm-hmm. but he was on Saturday. So it's two things. A, I think he is more confident since the fumbled Alabama. And the other thing is, this Georgia offensive line, which was a mess in September, is just playing a good bit better right now. A couple of freshmen are playing pretty well. A couple of injured guys have come back. And this is an offensive line that's making it pretty easy on the running game right now.
What about the young tight end? I mean, obviously, I mean, you're 6'7", and Garnett Ruart's 7'2".
Yeah, right.
And he goes up against this. I mean, because I remember Rusty saying something about him earlier, and then the other kid that got hurt earlier.
Ethan Barbour was playing to begin with. And so Elias Williams was a 5-star. I have to admit, I thought he would probably – I don't want to say project. That's not fair. But I thought he would be a little bit more developmental than he's turned out to be because he was a big body guy in high school. But some of this, when you're 6'7", sometimes you have to learn how to use your body. Right. I didn't quite know that he was ready to come in and play, but my gosh, he certainly seems to be. It would not surprise me at all if nationally that moment when Williams goes up and makes the catch, the people outside of our typical bubble, they paid attention to that more so than anything because it reminds them of Darnell Washington.
Yep.
And all these superheroes that Georgia has seemed to have the tight end position, Williams certainly fit into that on Saturday.
Yeah, they find a way to keep finding these guys.
Yeah,
and now they're throwing it to him, too, mm-hmm. which is nice. Saturday will be Georgia and Texas. Obviously, Georgia got the better of Texas two times last year. Different teams, Arch Manning quarterback now. To me, if it boils down to this, it still boils down to a huge matchup in Georgia's favor, which is Kirby versus Sark. But how do you look at what's going to happen on Saturday night?
I may think Sark's a better coach than you do, and I do think it's a matchup in favor of Georgia, but his time in Atlanta notwithstanding, not a very good offensive coordinator here, I don't think. I think Sark's actually a good coach.
I think he's a good coach, too.
Been in the Final Four the last 2 years.
I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a good coach.
I think if we're saying that Georgia's also improved, Texas has improved over the course of the season as well.
Definitely.
They've played a more difficult schedule this year than they probably did a year ago. But the matchup does favor Georgia, I believe. I think the Texas plays just a tick slower, quarterback holding the ball just a little bit longer. And this gives Georgia a chance to have more pass rush than other games because a year ago, Georgia got more pass rush against Texas than it got against anybody else. Mikael Williams had a great game in October against Texas. They got after really both quarterbacks last year to the extent that Arch played in a way they weren't getting after other teams. So it is reasonable to think they might be able to do some of that again. I think this is a really big game and a really fun matchup. But I do think there are aspects of this game that do favor Georgia.
What was your – because we remember we had Kirby on – a little bit after Arch committed to Texas. And I was like, oh, I didn't, all right, another gone. But that was like a big blow losing out on Arch?
I mean, I think that you wanted him, of course. I think that, look, Georgia, to be honest, has a strange relationship with quarterbacks because they've had a million 5-stars that have come through like a turnstile and turned in, almost like the Abe Simpson meme. They come in and turn right around and go right back out, and yet they won 2 national championships with a walk-on, and they're having success right now with a guy in Gunnar Stockton that did not have the same pedigree that Arch Manning had. So the relationship between Georgia and quarterbacks is always a bit weird. I think when Arch chose Texas, I remember the day that he did, I think some Georgia fans were okay. I think there was maybe an assumption that he was always going to pick somewhere else anyway, because I just think that Georgia fans have a little bit of a weird perception of Georgia and quarterback, although the success they've had with the quarterbacks they have had certainly speaks for itself. But, Manning choosing Texas, especially in the advent of the NIL age, I think there were some Georgia fans who were like, well, this was the decision he was always going to make anyway, to go somewhere else for bigger dollars. That was a time in which Georgia wasn't thought to play that game at the highest level. So I think the Manning decision, when it happened, played into the perceptions that happened to exist of Georgia at the time.
Yeah, and it is interesting, the relationship with quarterbacks, where the big name guys come in and maybe don't have as much of a career, and then these guys that are sort of, I don't know if they're afterthoughts, but not the huge 5-star guys, have great careers. And I almost wonder, Kirby, I'm sure, would love to have a number one overall pick quarterback, but there's something about these guys that thrive at Georgia that feels similar.
Well, there's a chance the next one, Jared Curtis, who's coming in this class, he may be really good. Right. I mean, he certainly looks the part right now. And I thought the Carson Beck era was going to give Georgia a chance to establish a more sensible hierarchy where the older guy gave way to the next oldest guy.
Right.
But obviously the Beck thing turned out to be pretty weird, too. Mm-hmm. And yet it's important to know, for as occasionally weird as the Georgia quarterback situation is, it does not seem to impact the team on the field very much.
No. How do you think this thing at LSU plays out? Because, I mean, me and Andy talked about it. I got time and billable hours money.
Yeah.
You don't get mine.
All these programs that try to get the fired with cause and so therefore we're going to save the buyout, it never seems to work.
Never works.
What LSU, not to get too deep in the weeds, never but what works. They made a mistake on is if they want to negotiate the buyout, they should have done it with Kelly before they fired him because they have some leverage then. But once you fire him, Kelly's like, I have no incentive to do anything else other than hold my hand out and say, give me my money. And That's exactly what's going to eventually end up happening.
What about their future prospects? Like, is this hurting them at all in trying to get the big name guys?
I said this today. It's hard. It's a long time ago now. But if you want to go back to the time in which Nick Saban was hired at Alabama, there was no shortage of people saying, oh, what a mess this is. Saban was considered a job hopper at the time. Alabama was considered a mess where there were too many chefs in the kitchen because of all the boosters involved there. They'd had a string of failed coaches. There was this attitude of, oh, nobody wants the Alabama job because it's such a mess. One good coach changes everything. I don't think any truly good coach is scared off this LSU situation at all. And if they get the right coach, which I think they have a very good chance of doing, all of the hysteria and the craziness will be fixed just like that because that's how valuable good coaches still are.
Who is the right?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, do you think for them?
I mean, the best one you can hire right now that would probably want it's probably Lane Kiffin. I think that Lane's going to probably leverage this job against the Florida job, maybe Auburn, but probably LSU and Florida.
Yeah.
And he's just going to choose the one that gives him the best offer, which includes the amount of money from an NIL standpoint he gets a chance to spend on players.
And this isn't me saying one way to do it is right or wrong, but like we talked about the Brent Key quote last week about how that might have cost him a little bit of money the way that
cut me open.
Lane's going to do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Whatever job he ends up getting is going to be the highest paid job in America. Even if he stays.
I think he's earned the right to take that next step if he wants. He's a much more mature coach now than he used to be.
And then Kirby, 2 days later, is going to become the new highest paid coach in college football.
I think Brandon, you can count on that.
We appreciate it.
Good to be with you guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.